Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's another Sabbath day. And today we're going to start a new series. But before we start, I'd like to ask you a question, because it's all part of our history. Where were you 34 years ago today? It's November 22nd. It would have been November 22nd, 1963. That's when JFK was killed, assassinated. And I think for most of us, it's, at least in this generation, was a very horrible time in our history, and a time that most of us will always remember that, and also when man first walked on the moon. And kind of dates us, doesn't it? It was 34 years ago. I was a senior in high school. Boy, that's pitiful, isn't it? That's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. And but I remember it like yesterday. And in fact, in the school, we were in drafting class, and we were way at the end of the school. And of course, when you're in school, you don't listen to radios, but we happened to have a radio there on in the drafting class. And the teacher, in fact, was out of the room. That's probably why we had the radio on. And we heard the news about this as it was happening. And I remember I went to his office and I called the principal and told them, you better listen to the radio and listen to this because something, you know, bad has happened. And we didn't have all the details of yet, so we alerted the school for that. So it's very fresh in my mind, probably always will be till the day I die. Because it's a horrible thing when anyone dies, and especially in that type of situation for a world leader. But coming back to the sermon here, I'd like to ask a question. This is the title. Circumcision, why? You know, why circumcision? Why did God use circumcision to be a sign or a token that you belonged to God? Have we ever really thought about this? In all the 43 years in church, there has been some sermons here and there about circumcision, but they didn't know the plan of God. And I find out that if you don't know the true plan of God, you cannot understand the real understanding of what circumcision is. You know, couldn't God just have made us to be born, all the males, just automatically circumcised? I mean, wouldn't that have been a little easier? You know, using sharp rocks is not my idea of having a good time, you know? You got to think about this. Back in those Old Testament days, they used sharp rocks. Now, you know, you have to give them credit. They used the types of rocks that could be sharpened pretty sharp. They were very sharp. But still, you have somebody clunking around with a couple of rocks. I don't know. That's not fun time. In this series of sermons, we're going to go through the physical background and also the spiritual meaning of this subject. Because circumcision means a lot more than just dealing with some flesh. It means a lot more than that. We're going to find that out. We're going to see in this series, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this, I have two planned here on circumcision. One, both of them, first covering the physical stages of this and then into the spiritual stages. And then we're going to do a series, probably two sermons, on the woman's cycle. Why did God create that? And what is the picture and what does it mean? I think you most are going to be quite surprised at what all this has to do with the Bible. And then we are going to do probably two sermons on Satan's fruit and God's fruit. What is all this? And it'll all tie together and what all this pictures. This is a very big, huge overview. This is after you know the plan of salvation. This is after you know what is going on and you really understand who Christ is and who the Father is and what this plan is all about. This is another overview of all of this and what God is really doing here and what he shows all the way from Genesis to Revelation and why he did it this way. So, and we've been working on this for well over a year, almost 2 years. And it takes a long time to understand and see this. And as God has revealed other things along the way, it makes this subject clearer and clearer. And this isn't the end of the subject. I'm giving you the beginning of the subject. And it'll continue to expand and grow all the way through this picture, this overview of everything. And that's what we have found all the way through as God has revealed these things to us. So we want to turn, but first I might say this may seem to be a very strange place to begin a subject of circumcision. But in the weeks to come, I think that you'll really understand why I started here. So let's turn back to Revelation 3. And you're thinking right now, Revelation 3, I don't think that says anything about circumcision, does it? Well, in the way that we used to think, no. In the way that we will think, yes. We're going to start here in Revelation 3, in verse 14. This you're all familiar with, and you know that this is talking about the Laodicean era of the church. You say, why is he going to start here? Very important. We want to get this in everyone's mind right away. This is very important. So let's start reading here, just to refresh ourselves. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Okay, he starts to talk now about this Laodicean era. Says, I know your works, that you art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So he could work with that. It says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. So he's telling us religiously, oh, they say they keep the Sabbath, they say they keep the holy days, but they don't believe in it. And a lot of people who are even keeping the Sabbath day and keeping the holy days, you know, they've thrown out government. God's church is scattered. It is scattered, all of it. Some people are voting in, like we talked about last time. They vote in God's servant. And then when they think God's servant isn't up to their expectations, they vote God's servant out. You know, how stupid and foolish is that? Well, we know that. That's not right. So, here we go in verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not, see, in God's eyes, that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy the gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And these are our brothers. They're laid to see in church, but these are first fruits, and they are our brothers. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and change. Change. That's what that word means. I think when the two witnesses come on the scene, I think this is where this is going to apply. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes, and we know what that overcoming is, the overcoming is being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you have overcome death. So he's talking to his first fruits. And he says, to him that overcome all these first fruits, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and sat down with my Father. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear what I say to the churches. So everything that he says to the churches is very important. Very important. I want to come back to verse 17, where he says that they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and we're going to zero in on naked. What do you mean naked? What's he talking about here? Then in verse 18, he says, you know, pray that, you know, your counsel come, you get back here so that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. Now, he didn't just throw that in there. He says that for a reason. What is he talking about with the shame of your nakedness? You know, isn't this part of God's true and holy church? It is. It's the Laodicean era. All of them have been sealed as first fruits, and they're all part of the 144,000. Can they leave God's calling? No, not if they're a true first fruit. Why does he say this about our brothers, about the shame of your nakedness? Well, let's start to get into this. Now we go from one end of the Bible to the other. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Remember, God created and made us the way that we are, male and female. Now we're going to talk more about the male. Later we'll be talking about the female. But there's a purpose in why he did this. Everything, as we've seen, has a purpose right from the beginning. You know, God didn't kind of make it up as he went along, like some people would like us to believe. Like God would still be in a learning process. God's not in a learning process. We are. Possibly Christ is. Well, sure, he is. But the Father? The Father's not in a learning process. The Father knows it all. That's why we worship him. Forever. And he'll teach us forever all of his ways. We'll never run out of it. The expanse of his knowledge is so great, it's going to take forever for us to even try to catch up. So in verse chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, and God said, let us make in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. He's talking about making man over the fish and the sea and the fowl, everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. So God created them. And as we've gone through in that series of the Garden of Eden, when he made these people, he said, this is good. Everything about this is good. They had human nature, see, which was really more or less God's nature there. Now don't jump on me on that. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, but they had a nature that was made in them that God wanted in them. And it was good. Human nature's good. It's the satanic nature that has been placed within us that's no good. And of course Satan has confused that fact, made us say human nature is bad. Well, where's Satan's nature? Oh, it's out of the picture, isn't it? Now it's Satan's nature that's bad, and that's what's in us. In verse 31 here, he says, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. It was not a misprint. It was very good. So we come over here in chapter 2, verses, starting in verse 23. And this is after God made the woman. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now this is a very interesting statement that God makes, or at least through Adam here, I guess. But it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. I guess God is really saying this. And they shall become one flesh. Now I want to start to open this subject up right here. When he is talking about the mother and the father, well, that may be physically, but what is God talking about spiritually here? Who really is the father of this world? Satan, today. And who is that mother? That great Babylon, that satanic religious thing, his government. So just kind of keep that in mind, because this will come out a little clearer later. But he says, leave the father and the mother and cleave unto the wife, that you'll become one flesh. Very important. That you become one flesh. Now verse 25 is very interesting. Starts to tie into what we read there in Revelation. It says, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. You see that? They were naked, and they weren't ashamed. Where is the shame of your nakedness deal, huh? Where is that shame of your nakedness that he talked about the Laodiceans having? Because Adam and Eve didn't have any of that, did they? So we continue on. In verse chapter 3, verse 1 here. And we'll just paraphrase a little bit of this first couple of verses. But as far as we know, Adam was not circumcised. If anyone has any scriptures on that, please give them to me, because I didn't find any. And we're not going to assume anything. We have to actually see it in the Bible for that. So we know from everything, as far as we know, that Adam was not circumcised. So here we come into this garden setting here, and this is when Eve and Adam came up against this serpent. And we have said in the past, and we've all talked about this and had some fun with it, about the Satan, you know, really being the snake or the serpent. And he may have literally been this snake, but we also must consider that he was just an angel of light standing there. You know, Adam and Eve were very familiar with gods. I mean, they walked with God. They walked and talked with God. And they may have seen angels. I know they saw them later, because when they got kicked out of the garden, there was some angels put there at the gate. I'm sure Adam went back there and checked on that to see if he could get back in, but he couldn't. So they were seeing angels. They saw God, at least whatever form he was in with them. And Satan could have just been another whatever being there, an angel of light. So it didn't have to be a little reptile, you know, going around. If he came as a reptile, I'm sure they went, whoa, look, at there's an animal speaking. And but they listened. And so, as we see, Satan began to lie to them. And he says, you won't die, you won't die. And they said, oh, no, 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 God says don't do it or we're going to die. And he says, no, you won't die, you're going to be as smart as God. So, in the first, really, verses 1 through 3 here in Genesis 3, or 1 through 6, it goes through that story. We won't take the time. We've gone over it many times. But It says that after they took this fruit, which they weren't supposed to do, after they sinned, and we know this is the time that Satan was allowed, and when that sin took place, that Satan was allowed to put that computer chip or that computer program within them, that spirit within them, to direct their minds so that they would continue to sin and serve flesh. So Satan's spirit is now in mankind. And he is the god of this world. We've already gone through that so many times in other sermons. In verse 7, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." Now, we just read they were naked and they weren't ashamed. Now we read that their eyes were opened, that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, little pieces of clothing to hide themselves, to cover themselves. All of a sudden, seems to be a little shame of nakedness here, isn't there? Now, the fruits of Satan were put within them at that time. And just as a very quick review, you can keep your finger here in Genesis, because we're coming right back. In Romans 1, verses 29 through 31, it talks about the fruit of Satan's spirit. And this is what was put into them. They never had this before. It's very important that we understand this, so we see what this shame of this nakedness and what that nakedness really did show. I'll just read through this very quickly, starting in verse 29. "Being filled with all unrighteousness," all of this now was in them, and the ability to do this. "All unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, mischief, whisperings," you know, just whispering around, always behind somebody's back, "backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." Now, maybe God wasn't their parent, but he was the best thing they had, and they certainly were disobedient to that authority, weren't they? Right away, immediately. "Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, truce breakers, unmerciful." That's what suddenly came into Adam and Eve. Another spot talks about that is in Galatians 5. Right before the fruits of God's Spirit, it talks about what these other things are, starting in verse 19 through 21. And it says, "Now the works of the flesh..." Remember these scriptures, because we'll be referring to these later. "Now remember, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness..." lasciviousness, it's a license to do sin. "Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, wrath and strife and heresies and envyings and murders and drunkenness." All of those things, those are all things of Satan. And that, all of that, that attitude was immediately put within Adam and Eve. So coming back here to Genesis 3, when it says that the eyes of them both were open and they knew they were naked, all of that came into play right then and there. They looked in each other's eyes. They looked at each other and looked in each other's eyes, and they saw that lust. They saw that self. They saw something that was there that was never there before. And immediately, what did they want to do? They wanted to cover up, didn't they? They knew it. They had to cover themselves. And what happens here in verse 8? And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. So they were back in those trees in the bushes. And the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Yeah, he knew where they were. "Well, where are you?" And verse 10, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." He wasn't afraid just a few moments ago when he was walking with them and talking with God. He was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. Do you think that this little episode happened just, well, it was just a cute little episode? No. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of pictures going on here. There's an overview happening right here, right from the beginning, that we never saw before. And God, of course, said in verse 11, he says, "Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? Have you eaten of that tree where I commanded you not to eat? Did you eat of that?" Well, of course he knew. I mean, he allowed Satan to be there, and he knew that mankind without his spirit would immediately be overcome and taken with Satan. And that, of course, is what happened. So he says, "Who told you that? Who told you you were naked?" Because no one really told them. It came from within, didn't it? So he goes on and he talks with them a little bit. He talks about that serpent, just to cut the time down here. Now, when that happened, because they ate of that, in verse 19, it says, "In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return unto the ground." See, they weren't going to die before. Now they're going to die. "For out of the dust," of course, "you were taken. For the dust thou art, and the dust you shall return." You know, what does it say over in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15? It talks about Satan. It talks about Satan and that lousy thing that he has done to us. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to turn there and just read it real quick in context of what we're reading. This is Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Keep your finger there in Genesis. "For as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he," Christ, "also himself likewise took part of the same." So he came down like us to be flesh. "That through death he might destroy him that has the power of death." That is the devil. Well, God just told them that they were going to die. They were going back to the dust after this encounter with Satan. It says in verse 15, it says, "And deliver them," this is what God does for us, "deliver them who through fear of death." See, as soon as God told Adam that he was going to die, he had the fear of death. Satan was upon him, wasn't he? And this is how he lived the rest of his time. "Through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." It was that bondage of death, and also that bondage, of course, to Satan, who is the death and the grave and Satan. So, not only are we seeing that this nakedness was there, there was a covering that took place too, wasn't there? There was a covering. It's very important that we understand that. Later here in Genesis 3, going on in verse 21, "Unto Adam also to his wife did God make coats of skins and clothe them." Some people think we should be vegetarians and everything else, and let me tell you, there's nothing better than a nice, good steak. And God created that for us, but in moderation like everything else. Now here he had to kill some animal we have dominion over this earth and over the animals. And he made skins for them. And God himself covered them up. Why? Why did he do this? Well, then he goes on in verse 22 and said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. You see, the Father knows good and he knows evil. Remember, God created evil. But we have to remember that God alone has life eternal within him. Now, the angels don't have that. They are kept alive by the power of God and by the power of his Spirit. Only the 144,000, including Christ, will have this life eternal given to them. And it will be within them. And we know also that Adam and Eve, after eating off the tree of life, if they continued to eat, they would live forever. And they would have this abomination within them. All those fruits of Satan's spirit that I just read. And they would live forever. And that is not the way God had planned that to be. And he says, to know good and evil, and to know lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life. See, he's going to take this again and continue to eat. He almost lived to be almost 1,000 years old as it was. And then live forever. So, of course, he kicked them out. And he wouldn't let them come back. So, we know that from all the sermons on the Garden of Eden and what we're all about. We don't want to continue to go into that area. But Adam was uncircumcised. He suddenly was naked, and there was a shame of his nakedness. And there was a covering that took place, wasn't there? Start to get this in mind. And then we read in chapter, because this is the basis for all of this. Chapter 4, we see that Adam and Eve came together, and she conceived, and she bare Cain. Then the first human being. See, the man and woman, and he was uncircumcised, were told to come together and become one flesh. That means that Eve was uncircumcised as well in this situation, wasn't it? They were both, because they're one flesh and uncircumcised. And they had this union. Now, out of this union, out of this one flesh came the first killer, the first murderer, the first ungodly fruit, wasn't it? When you are uncircumcised, that is the only thing that can come from it. Now, I'm not talking about today. So if anyone in the audience, anyone hearing these tapes are uncircumcised, don't run out and get circumcised. You know, we're talking about a picture and a plan here. If you want to, go ahead. But it has nothing to do with what God is saying here. Okay? I guess I'll put my disclaimer in right now. So maybe save people a lot of hurt and pain there. And go to a doctor. Do not use sharp rocks. Okay? So out of this union, this uncircumcised union, came the first killer. It looks like Satan was really in there, wasn't he? Because all the fruits of Satan's spirit came right out in Cain, the first human being. But see, it doesn't stop there, brethren. This is the first union to begin what? To begin all of mankind. Every human being came from this union. Everyone came from this uncircumcised union. All mankind came from that union. All came from that one flesh. You see, we have a problem there, because God tells us later, which we'll be reading, that you have to be, at least in the Old Testament, as we came along here, as we'll see as we come along, that he requires circumcision. Yet the whole world came from this union of uncircumcision. You know, when they disobeyed God, they became subject to Satan's ways. Their mind and their heart changed. They were unclean in God's eyes. They had a covering over their hearts. I'm giving you some of these statements before we read the scriptures, so you keep this in mind. They had a covering over their hearts. They had immediately those stony hearts that you read about in the Bible. You know, they also had scales on their eyes, didn't they? Now the principle of circumcision can start to apply before that sin, before Satan, before that covering, before all of that. We didn't have a principle of circumcision, did we? And we're kind of jumping ahead of ourselves here, but you know the story. It is a shame. It is a shame in God's eyes to be uncircumcised. And there was now a need for clothes, or to cover it up, to cover up this uncircumcision, to hide it. Very important that we see this. This isn't just a physical thing. Begin to start to understand the spiritual. Although we'll be going through that later, I want to tell you enough about it now. This isn't a subject to get all embarrassed about and everything else. And whenever the ministers would go through that and I was young, I'd go, oh, get off of that subject. Oh, we don't have to talk about that. Oh, there's all these ladies sitting here. Hey, this is what God did. And this is what God is doing. We're not talking just about some physical thing here. We're talking about an overview and something that's going to give us the knowledge and the understanding of what God is and how he thinks. That's the tone of what this has to be. You see, this nakedness exposes, when you're naked, it exposes any and all imperfections and flaws. It reveals whether one is circumcised or not, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It shows whether you are of God or you are of Satan. This foreskin, this fleshy part, is a covering, isn't it? It covers. This is why God has used this. It's a covering. Now, I'm going to throw something in here. I didn't originally plan to, but I want to put this in, to put it in everyone's mind as we go through this. Because we're going to be going through, all of this is going to all come together. It's going to be probably about 6 sermons. And this is all intermingled with all of this. And it's very important that we get the basic things here. Turn over to Ezekiel 28. This is talking, and we know, this is talking about Satan. It's not the king of Tyrus, it is the king, and it is Satan the devil. Now there's a couple of interesting things that he says here about Satan and this covering. It's important that we get this covering in our mind. This isn't just some silly little thing maybe to giggle or laugh about. No. Whenever God does something, and when he creates this, he created it with a purpose. In verse 2, it talks about the Son of Man, and we know that man can be translated man or angel, wherever it fits. And this obviously is Satan. And he's this prince of Tyrus. He says, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. And God says, yet you are a man. And what he's saying here is, yet you are an angel. You're only an angel. You're not God. See? You're an angel and not God. You know, you set your heart as the heart of God, but it's not. You're just an angel. And he goes on. We've been through all this so many times. But he goes on and talks about him in verse 4. He says, with your wisdom and with your understanding, thou hast gotten you've gotten yourself riches and have gotten gold and silver and your treasures. By your great wisdom, see, has he increased his riches, and his heart is lifted up because of the riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast set your heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon you. And he's talking about Satan. This is Satan's life, and this is way at the end. The terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, and they shall defile your brightness. Remember, he comes as an angel of light. They shall bring you down to the pit, and you shall die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. In other words, you're going to die the same death you made them. I'm going to have you killed at the end. He's telling Satan his life here. It says, will you then say, after I slay you, are you going to say, I am God then? But thou shalt be an angel and no God in the hand of him that slays you. You're no God. I'm God. You're not. And he goes on, talk about in verses 12 and 13. He says he's the king of Tyrus. And he says, you sealed up the sum, the full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. That's what he did. That's what he was at that time. And we know that this was Satan, and he's talking about Satan right here. And that he's laying out his whole life right here for him.